In honor of Verizon time, everybody's mic's on. I'm calling to order the Tuesday, September 17th, 2019 meeting of Board of Fire Commissioners, Kituit Fire District. Present Commissioner Pisano.
Commissioner Conley.
Commissioner Sace.
Chief Rube.
Thank you. Amy Cates has announced that she will be recording the meeting independently. First item on the agenda is public comment.
Mr. Chairman, I request that you move public comment to the end since you might answer my questions during your regular deliberation. Is that possible?
Because we are planning on going into executive session at the end and we have a lot to cover, I would prefer not to. You can post your questions now if they're covered.
Okay. My question is, I saw that you had a position advertised in the Cape Cod Standard Times for a firefighter paramedic. I was wondering what procedure we were going to use to do that hiring. Were we going to hire off the county list? Were you going to? So I was just curious about how that was going to be handled since it wasn't discussed at last month's meeting.
Any other public comment? Next item is review of previous meeting minutes from August 13th. I have the printed copy in front of me. I've had a chance to review them. They seem in order to me.
I agree.
Yep, I reviewed them.
Then I move we accept them as presented.
Second.
In favor, Pisano.
Sace.
Very good. Thank you. Next item is subcommittee reports. Adam, you represent us on both policy advisory and bylaws. Has either of those had a meeting yet?
Not yet.
Okay. And Kevin, you're chairing negotiations. Have we made any first tentative dates?
We have not. We've talked to the union, and the union's going to get back to us with suggestions.
Great. Okay. Easy. Moving on to the chief's report.
Responses for August. There were 97 total responses. One fire call, which was a mutual aid to a sandwich fire call. 68 medicals, one hazardous condition, and 27 good intent service or false alarm calls. Administration. Unfortunately, still working on the Open Cape installation. Open Cape called us. Emailed us back in a couple months ago to schedule the installation, at which time the town IT director, Dan Wood, decided that he didn't know anything about this anymore, even though he'd been included in every email we've ever done over the last year. After multiple conversations, emails back and forth with him, the town manager, our council representative, the bottom line for the town is they will let us use the fiber that we have in our building that our residents have paid for and has no other purpose but to service us. They will let us use the whole fiber if we put the router for Open Cape in the town hall and use the whole piece of fiber from Kituit Fire Station to the town hall, but they won't let us use a piece of it from the library to our fire station.
Whose town hall?
Barnstable Town Hall. Problem with that is the town's fiber is a one-way, single point of failure. Their fiber is bolted to poles rather than on sliding box like Open Cape. Open Cape mounts their cable such that the cable slides. So if one pole goes down, the slack from the next 10 poles goes to that one pole and keeps it from breaking. Open Cape also has a ring architecture, so if it breaks in one direction, it reroutes the other way. So it's a much more reliable system. Plus, they have contracts with vendors to maintain and update and fix their system when it goes down. The town has none of that. And they acknowledge, and they actually, when we wanted to use this 2 years ago, they had to sign an agreement to use it, and they said it's not to be depended on for any emergency services because of these facts. So I'm waiting for Open Cape to give us a price. They should shortly give us a price on what it would cost to connect us to their system. Their nearest connection point is the library. I'm hoping we're going to get a reasonable price. I will be responding to the town manager that we're not interested in using the old fiber. We want a system that's reliable, dependable, and to get our most reliable system, it's to use the Open Cape system. And if they are going to force us to lay another fiber next to the dead one that the town residents, the residents of Katuit, have already paid for, then that's what we'll be asking for funds to do. So we'll see how they respond and see if we can go somewhere for there. They seem to think their reasoning for it is if commercial traffic goes over the town fiber system, then the town is going to be responsible for $7,000 in pole rental to Verizon. So evidently, we would be responsible if we sent that traffic over a half-mile stretch, but not responsible if we sent it all the way to Town Hall, which I don't quite understand the reason behind it. But
When did we become commercial traffic?
I don't know that we are. I pointed out that the schools use the same town fiber network and access the same internet through Open Cape on the same system. And they couldn't explain why that wasn't commercial and we would be. So we're working on it. I hope that maybe the town will change its mind after we make our last written plea to them. But if not, we'll have a price and we can make a decision where we go from there. And maybe the decision is it's not worth the price, depending on how much it costs to hook up to it. So hope to have some better answers next month on that one.
Okay.
MOA has met tech rescue teams. We signed an MOA that we did offer to the union from our last meeting, and it details how we use the state hazmat technician that we have and any people that are on the tech rescue team. I sent it to the union, and they had requests. They said they had no problems with most of it. They requested that there be two changes. One is the activation of the teams. They want the duty officer to be able to send the on-duty firefighter, even if no coverage has arrived yet, if it's, in their opinion, something that is the best interest of the district or our neighbors. So if there's an immediate spill in Katuit or right next door that we really need that person to go, they want the ability to drop our staffing by one person so that person can go and assist. And I completely agree with that. I think the duty officer should have the discretion to make that type of call. In general, though, if there's a team activation and it's not something that they think is something that is in the best interest of our district, then they have to wait till someone from off-duty responds to take that person's place on the floor so that we don't drop our staffing down. So it'd be the same as us if COM called us for a mutual aid ambulance. We don't wait. There's an emergency that our neighbors have that they respond to. We immediately respond to the emergency and render care. And we hope to fill our station afterwards, but we don't wait for coverage to come in. So it's a similar, it follows what we do in the rest of our operations. So that was their one request. The other request was, under training, the hazardous materials tech would be responsible for providing two training classes a year to the hazardous materials operational level to our staff, and I had language in there that said it was to be taught to the Mass Fire Academy course number. I think it was 248. They requested to remove that. They said they thought it was better if the tech had the ability to modify the class to better meet us. And maybe the way the state class gave wasn't 100% applicable, so they wanted the ability to tweak the class so that it better met our needs. And maybe some years they'll cover more of one area if we have some new equipment, and other areas that they'll cover a different area. So I agree with that, too, as long as they teach the four-hour hazardous materials operation level class to meet our requirements, then we're covered. And I removed the one mention of the class title, and I added the line, give the duty officer discretion on staff on sending the tech. And I would ask that you sign this one for their approval if that works to you, if you have any questions.
Any other questions?
I don't think so.
No questions.
You're the man. Thank you. Okay, so it's this additional.
That's last line under on-duty activation was added.
Yeah.
And then there was a deletion of just the Mass Fire Academy course number 248 was deleted.
Right. In this section on training. Okay, I would move that we accept the modified agreement as presented.
Second.
In favor, Pisano?
Conley.
Zeiss.
As far as training goes, we've received, our staff has received training on the new Scott air packs, and they've been placed in service. Our Lieutenant Pouliot is working with the IANS and COM fire departments to formalize exactly how we're going to use the new system. So the new system, new tanks have better accountability. They've actually got a mesh Wi-Fi network so that the computer in the front yard, the incident command computer, tells us who's in the building, how much air they have left. We can send accountability requests where the tank will beep and they have to acknowledge with a button on it and acknowledge that they're okay and everything's good. They can, if they activate their emergency device, it alerts on the computer saying this person has activated an emergency device. It's a pretty amazing system, and we're working with IANS and COM to make sure we're using it exactly the same way. So he's going to be working with them.
Great.
Pearl EMS reports were attached to the cloud file.
Right.
Personnel. Our firefighter that's on IOD initially had a 5 to 6 month rehab prognosis from the doctor. We recently received an update last week, and we were updated that now we're looking at 7 to 8 months. So we're looking at December or January return date is the newest return date for that firefighter. We're working with the doctors and the insurance company to make sure that we're on target and that the rehab has been followed appropriately. Open firefighter position. Firefighter paramedic Eric Anderson has resigned. He'll be taking a position with Hyannis Fire Department. His resignation is effective October 4th at 8 a.m. Because of such, we have advertised in the Cape Cod Times per this collective bargaining agreement requirement. So we've advertised applications usually at the end of the month. And we've also emailed every one of the applicants that meet the requirements on the county list and asked them for their applications as well. We'll be doing the applications or the process the same as we did last time for firefighter tags. We hope to be interviewing the first week of October and hope to have some recommendations for hire by the October 8th commissioner's meeting. We're down significant staff, and it's important that we get them on the books in the station as soon as possible.
And I have offered with the chief, as we did with Casey, to help out with the interviews as appropriate.
Terrific.
And as requested, I will, any firefighters that are being recommended or people recommend for hire, I will have them here at the October 8th meeting to answer any questions before any vote is taken.
Very good.
Apparatus 263 is at M&R Restoration. We anticipate that back in about 6 weeks. So it's been gone about a week, so another 5 weeks or so. We hope to have it back. Facilities. The roof replacement, I believe it's actually done. It looks like they're cleaning up this afternoon. I haven't gotten up on the roof to make sure it's done. Lieutenant McNamara is on tomorrow. He's our building expert. I asked him to go up there and take a look and make sure it's done to our standards and that everything's done, but they look like they're just about done if they're not done.
I walked around it with a set of field glasses, and it looks pretty good for me.
Good. You get up there tomorrow and take a look for us, maybe? hopefully it's done, and
you're not allowed on it.
No, I'm not allowed on
the roof. No. The kitchen cabinets and appliances, so the KC Staggs and Lieutenant McNamara have been working extremely hard putting the new kitchen in. They've done the majority of the work on duty in between calls. They've installed the cabinets. They put a brand new floor down. They've repainted the dining room area and the kitchen area. They are I think they're waiting for tile for the backsplash. They'll be installing in the next probably couple weeks.
Did they go ahead with choosing the...
I don't know what they chose, honestly, for the backsplash. They were looking at, like, glass tile, I think, is what they're looking at. But they're, whatever it is, they've taken care of it. They're saving us a ton of money, and they're doing an incredible job. So we'll see how that goes. After they're done with that, they intend to move on to start redoing office space so I can move out of the second floor and abandon that space.
That was going to be the next item on my question list. But by the way, when I saw the state of the kitchen rehab at the 9/11 service, I was very impressed. It's really looking...
They did a great job. They really did. Yeah, couldn't have got a better service from professionals. Well, they are professionals, but from kitchen company. So they did an extremely good job.
Right. So then the plan is to begin the partitioning in the large room to create two offices, right?
Correct. We're first going to redo the front office area and move executive assistant Dolly into that area. They'll redo her office, move me down there. So, and then after that, we'll start partitioning off the other bunk rooms so that we can better utilize the space we have. It's still anticipated the Barnesville Police will occupy an office in the building too. They haven't confirmed that with us, but they said that the new deputy took office. They'll kind of have him work on that, so that's anticipated in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Chief, that may have been included in some of the original plans we went through, but is there a set of plans for that? I don't recall seeing that.
For the new, what we're going to do?
Yes.
No, that has to happen too. So we have to come up with plans, which we'll file with the building department.
Okay.
And that has not happened yet, so we'll have to have plans approved by the building department. We need to put two new windows in for the offices too, so we'll have to get building permits for that as well.
Good.
And clear the question about the sprinklers.
And you're right. Yep.
Yeah.
I think they're all positioned right, so they'd be fine for the petitions we're looking to do, but we'll have to get okay on that and sign off on all that stuff. So that might take a little longer, hence the reason to redo the offices we have first and move me out of there. So we'll also be looking at getting additional quotes for security systems. So we did have some problems with the front door lock, and we have swapped out the lock on the bottom lower bay. So that now is the lock on the front door, which is working appropriately. Everybody's been reminded to keep it locked when they're not there, and we are still going ahead with a new security system, but it's working as designed right now. So.
All right. I did also send an inquiry to Prudential asking about whether they had any further information about their timetable for completing the move out of the second floor of our building. But I understand it's on the agenda for your next meeting. Yes, okay, great. Thank you. The only other thing in facilities I wanted to ask you is, did we ever get any more clarification about options around dock space?
No. Around dock space, last I heard, the house that we're renting the dock from was possibly up for sale, so that's not a great long-term solution if it were to be sold. The town has appropriated money to design a new dock fitted to it, an expanded town dock. So that's in progress, and the idea behind the dock, or one of the main reasons behind it, was a space for a public safety boat. So honestly, that's probably a couple of years off. So that's where we are right now. I don't have any other options.
Mm-hmm.
So we have talked to the Mosquito Yacht Club. We haven't talked to them recently. We talked to them about expanding their dock. All the dock expansions are kind of complicated because there's currently a freeze in all dock space for the 3 bays. So that's kind of where it stands. It's worked out well where it is. We actually responded last night to another call. So we've, I don't know how many calls, I have to look it up and do a report for you, but it's been quite a few calls that some of them used it on. So we were out last night for a boat that was disabled and off of what thought was Kituit, but it turned out to be the Kituit Osterville line. So we both responded, Kituit, Osterville, Calm, and El Coast Guard.
That should cover it.
The Navy.
Well, one of the problems with water stuff is it takes much more resources than a land base. There are no, mm-hmm. For the most part, street signs out there, no street lights. It's labor intensive, and boats are prone to breaking down.
Yep.
So the Coast Guard's recommendation, they're in charge out there, the recommendations is they want three boats responding to every call every offshore call. So they try to send one of their boats and two local boats to every call, and that's what they stand for. That's exactly what we did last night. So.
Very good. That's all the questions I had around facilities. But I did want to go back. The in apparatus, is the tank in the brush breaker resolved now?
The tank is functional. What is not functional is the foam tank, I believe. We had talked about getting some prices on redoing the foam tank, but that has not been done.
But the main tank?
The main tank's fine. It operates fine. Okay. There's some body work on one of the doors, and the foam tank, when it leaked years ago, it caused some corrosion issues, but we haven't gotten any quotes to put any significant amount of money into that yet.
Under new business, I do not have anything under new business other than what is going to be addressed in the executive session.
I was going to just go back to the personnel for a second. Did your question get answered? Thank you. One of the things when we met at 9/11, by the way, great ceremony, and it was good to see you in the kitchen. It was awesome. Have we started to do any, I'm just worried about overtime, you know, some of the conversations, comments you made. Are you going to do any modeling of what you think the worst case might be?
Great question. I should have brought that up. So based on our extended IOD, we've got one other potential IOD, a firefighter who's been diagnosed with cancer. One to two openings that we're going to have, one opening as of tonight, the firefighter leaving for Hyannis, and another potential. Our injury budget, I think, was around $50,000 to $55,000. We're going to well exceed that for our injury line item. And with the other staffing shortage issues we have, there's a good chance we'll exceed our budget for salary wages. As far as modeling goes, I've talked to the treasurer. Some of these issues are just kind of coming into focus this week. We just got the letter from Firefighter Anderson today stating what day he's going. So that was part of the formula. We've got one firefighter that has cancer right now, and we don't know exactly what that means. We're hoping to know more in the next week what that means. So we're hoping in the next week we have a little bit better handle on what our costs are going to look like, and we'll be able to model when we're going to run out, if we're going to run out, whether we need a special meeting, and how we're going to proceed. So Ray and I are working on it, but I just don't have the information tonight to model that effectively.
All right.
Well, I anticipate by October 8th meeting, I should have, I'll have a model done up that gives just a good idea. I mean, obviously, it could change based on winter storms and hurricanes and other things, but by the October 8th, I will have a good estimation of where we stand with given information.
And I just think it's wise that we get ahead of this from, and I know you're on it, but in terms of sharing it with the village.
Yes, I've been working with the treasurer. He's been informed every step of the way
about
the staffing issues, and we've been talking about how we're gonna model it. But yes, a lot of the stuff has really just come into focus in the last 2 weeks. So this is
understood.
There's been some staffing issues we'll talk about tonight that have just happened to bring this all to make this all become a bit of a problem.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Then I'm going to move that the committee go into executive session. We are citing our reasons, first, to discuss reputation, character, physical condition, or mental health rather than professional competence of an individual, or to discuss discipline, dismissal, or complaints or charges brought against a public officer, employee, staff member, or individual. The individual to be discussed in such session shall be notified in writing by the public body at least 48 hours prior to the proposed executive session provided, however, that notification may be waived upon a written agreement of the parties. We're also citing reason two, to conduct strategy sessions in preparation for negotiations with non-union personnel, or to conduct collective bargaining sessions or contract negotiations with non-union personnel. Collective bargaining sessions include not only the bargaining sessions, but also grievance hearings that are required by a collective bargaining agreement. The committee does not plan to return to open session. I need a second.
Second.
In favor, Pisano.
Connolly.
Zase.
We are now going to executive session. Thank you.